אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם, עמוד 400.
We are reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, from article The Freedom, under the title Ancestral Heritage.
כן.
מורשת אבות.
Yeah.
גם כל הפרטים מהתמונות.
Ancestral Heritage. All the details of the pictures that this will to receive includes, which we have defined as the source, or the first reason, whose meaning includes all the tendencies and customs inherited from his ancestors, which we picture as a long chain of thousands of people who were alive once and stand one atop of the other. Each of them is an essential drop of his progenitors. And that drop brings each person all the spiritual possessions of his progenitors into his elongated brain, called subconscious. Thus, the individual before us has in his subconscious all the thousands of spiritual legacies from all the individuals represented in that chain, which are his progenitors and ancestors. Thus, just as the face of each and every person differs, so their views differ. There are no two people on earth whose opinions are identical, because each person has a great and sublime possession bequeathed to him from his ancestors, and which others have no shred of them. Therefore, all those possessions are considered the individual's property, and society is cautioned to preserve its flavor and spirit so it does not become blurred by its environment. Rather, each individual should maintain the integrity of his inheritance. Then, the contradiction and oppositeness between them will remain forever, to forever secure the criticism and progress of the wisdom, which is all of humanity's advantage and its true eternal desire. After we have come to a certain measure of recognition of man's selfishness, which we have determined as a force and a desire to receive, being the essential point of the bare being, it has also become thoroughly clear to us from all sides the original possession of each body, which we have defined as ancestral heritage. This pertains to all the potential tendencies and qualities that have come into his source by inheritance, which is the first substance of every person, meaning the initial seed of his forefathers. Now we have found the door to resolving the intention of our sages and their words that by receiving the Torah, they were liberated from the angel of death. However, we still need further understanding regarding selfishness and the above-mentioned ancestral heritage.
Here, he only brings a problem in general. We don't even really understand where he is heading. Basically, he wants to explain to us the matter of free choice. It's the article, The Freedom. So let's continue and see how he gets there. Please.
Title 2 Discernments. A. Potential. B. Actual. First, we must understand that although the selfishness, which we have defined as the force of will to receive, is the very essence of man, It cannot exist in reality even for a second. For it is known that there is discernment and a discernment in potential. And the thing we call potential is in the thought before it emerges from potential to actual. And is established only in the thought.
Yes, this is why it's called in potential. Next, go on.
For what we call potential, meaning before it emerges from potential to actual, exists only in our thought, meaning that we can determine it only in the thought.
Yes.
But in fact, there cannot be any real force in the world that is dormant and inactive. This is because the force exists in reality only while it is revealed in action. By the same token, you cannot say about an infant that it is very strong when it cannot lift even the lightest weight. Instead, you can say that you see in that infant that when it grows, it will manifest great strength. However, we do say that the strength we find in man when he is grown was present in his organs and his body even when he was an infant. But that strength had been concealed and was not evident. It is true that in our minds we could determine the powers destined to manifest, since the mind asserts it. However, in the infant's actual body, there is certainly no strength at all, since no strength manifests in the infant's actions, since no force was revealed in the infant's actions. So it is with appetite. This force will not appear in a man's body in the actual reality when the organs cannot eat, meaning when he is full. But even when one is full, the force of appetite exists, but it is concealed within one's body. After some time, when the food has been digested, it reappears and manifests from potential to actual. However, such a sentence of determining a force that has not yet been revealed in actual fact belongs to the conducts by which the thought perceives. However, it does not exist in reality, since when satiated, we feel very clearly that the force of appetite is gone. And if you search for it, you will not find it. It turns out that we cannot display a potential as a subject that exists in and of itself, but only as a predicate. Thus, when an action occurs in reality, at that time, the force manifests in the action. Yet, we necessarily find two things here in the perceiving process, a subject and a predicate, that is potential and actual, such as the force of the appetite, which is the subject, and the image of the food, which is the predicate and the action. In reality, however, they come as one. It will never occur that the force of appetite will appear in a person without picturing the food he wishes to eat. Thus, these are two halves of the same thing. The force of appetite must dress in the image of the thing being eaten, since there is revealing only through clothing in an image You therefore see that the subject and the predicate are presented here as two halves of the same thing, whose appearance and disappearance are simultaneous. Now we understand that the will to receive, which we presented as selfishness, does not mean that it exists so in a person as a craving force that wishes to receive in the form of a passive predicate. Rather, this pertains to the subject, meaning that it dresses in an image of things he deems worthy of receiving. It is like the force of appetite, which dresses in the image of a thing worthy of being eaten, and whose action appears in the form of the thing being eaten, and in which it clothes. We call this action desire, meaning the force of appetite revealed in the action of the imagination. So it is with our topic, the general will to receive, which is the very essence of man. It appears and exists only through dressing in shapes of objects that are likely to be received. For then it exists as the subject and in no other way. We call this action life, meaning man's vitality, which means that the force of the will to receive dresses and acts within the desired objects. And the measure of revelation of this action is the measure of his vitality, as we have explained in the act we call desire.
Well, he gives us very limited, simple definitions here. What is the vital force, the will to receive? And how this force is revealed in us, in practice and in potential. Why does he do it? Because we need to understand that if we don't reveal something, it cannot be that we can imagine that thing. And if there is any desire in us, it means that with respect to this desire, there is some sort of a form that awakens that desire. Even if we don't understand or feel or discover this form and don't reveal its connection to our desire. But it is impossible that there is some impression in a vessel if there is no light that awakens it, awakens that vessel, that part of the vessel, toward this specific impression. So it's good for us to know this. We will talk about these things like craving, desire, forgetfulness, vitality, etc. Let's go to, go on. Continue.
Title, two creations, A, man, B, a living soul. From the above, we can clearly understand the verse, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living chaya, soul, nefesh. Here we find two creations, A, man himself, and B, the living soul itself. The verse says that in the beginning, man was created as dust from the ground, meaning a collection of molecules in which resides the essence of man, meaning his will to receive. That force, the will to receive, is present in every element of reality, as we have explained above. Also, all four types emerged from them, 1, still. 2, vegetative. 3, animate. And 4, the speaking. In that respect, man has no advantage over any part of creation. This is the meaning of the verse in the words, dust from the ground.
In other words, we are a collection of items, details, and each item in itself has nothing special about it. Only through connection between us in still vegetative, animate, and speaking that connect within us, and we consist of those four types. So when those four types become connected and start filling one another, by this we become something very special, which is called man, with what is in him, the living soul. Yes?
However, we have already seen that this force called will to receive cannot exist without dressing and acting in a desired object, and this action is called life. And accordingly, we find that before man has arrived at the human forms of reception, of pleasure, which differ from those of other created beings, he is still considered a lifeless, dead person, since his will to receive has no place in which to dress and manifest its actions, which are the manifestations of life.
Basically, he wants to explain to us in different words, when he kind of twists this matter. He wants to explain to us what is spiritual life and how spiritual life differs from corporeal life.
This is the meaning of the verse, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which is the general form of reception suitable for humans. The word nishmat, breath of, comes from the word samin, placing, the ground for him, which is like value. And the origin of the word breath is understood from the verse, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. The word soul, neshama, has the same syntax structure as the words missing. If God accused neshem and accused.
In other words, how can it be that the will to receive, which is opposite from the Creator, will be connected to the Creator precisely by being opposite from it, and it will be incorporated with it in such a way that it will feel that it has some life, some movement, that all the movements of the will to receive are opposite from the will to receive itself, from the Creator himself. When our whole life, even in the still vegetative and animate that exist, are the opposite of the material itself. They're contradictory to the material. What force sustains our lives, our vitality in our body, and forces this flesh to live, to exist, to move?
Breathe nostrils into his souls, that he instills a soul in his eternality, and an appreciation of life, which is the sum of the forms that are worthy of reception into his will to receive. Then, that force, the will to receive, enclosed in his molecules, has found a place in which to dress and act, meaning in those forms of reception that he had obtained from the Creator. And this action is called life, as we have explained above. And the verse ends, and man became a living soul. This means that since the will to receive has begun to act by the measures of those forms of reception, life instantly manifested in it, and it became a living soul. However, prior to the attainment of those forms of reception, although the force of the will to receive had been imprinted in him, it is still considered a lifeless body, since it has no place in which to appear and to manifest in action. As we have seen above, although a man's essence is only the will to receive, it is still taken as half of a whole, as it must clothe in a reality that comes its way. For this reason, it and the image of possession it depicts are literally one. For otherwise, it would not be able to exist for even a moment. Therefore, when the machine of the body is at its peak, meaning until his middle age, his ego stands upright in all the height imprinted in him at birth. Because of this, he feels within him a large and powerful measure of the will to receive. In other words, he craves great wealth and honor and anything that comes his way. This is so because of the perfection of man's ego, which attracts shapes of structures and concepts that it dresses in and sustains itself through them. But when half his life is through, begin the days of the decline. By their content, these are his dying days. A person does not die in an instant, just as he did not receive his life in an instant. Rather, his candle, being his ego, withers and dies bit by bit, and along with it die the images of the possessions he wishes to receive. He begins to relinquish many possessions he had dreamed of in his youth, and he gradually relinquishes great possessions according to his decline over the years. Finally, in his truly old days, when the shadow of death hovers over all his being, a person finds himself in times of no appeal, since his will to receive, his ego, has withered away. Only a tiny spark of it remains, hidden from the eye, from clothing in some possession. Therefore, there is no appeal or hope in those days for any image of reception.
This is old age. Let's hope we don't come to it. Until the very last minute, we will be breaking forward.
Thus, we have proven that the will to receive, along with the image of the object expected to be received, are one and the same. Their manifestation is equal. Their stature is equal. And so is the length of their lives. However, there is a significant distinction here in the form of the yielding at the time of the decline of life. That yielding is not a result of satiation, like a person who relinquishes food when he is full, but a result of despair. That is, when the ego begins to die during the days of decline, it senses its own weakness and approaching death. Therefore, a person lets go and gives up the dreams and hopes of his youth. Observe carefully the difference between that and the yielding due to satiation, which causes no grief. It cannot be called a partial death, but is like a worker who completed his work. Indeed, relinquishment out of despair is full of pain and sorrow, and can therefore be called partial death. Understand this well.
This is what we have during the descent, when we lose our spirit of life, when we lose hope, we lose connection to life's purpose. And then we don't understand why we are alive, what for. And this is what gives us the feeling of descent or the feeling of death. And this is what people who grow old feel a little bit. People who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, if they do engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, not that they studied it once or had a connection with it in the past, but who do engage in it, they are above time and place, and to the very last minute, they don't feel that they have they understand, they feel these things, but it's not the end. It's not the end. It doesn't end. As they have this tendency to connect to the Creator, they continue to in this way. So the feeling of old age is completely different from the one that a regular person has. Maybe we'll still have time. Read it. Freedom from the Angel of Death. This is basically the end of the article, the conclusion of the article.
Freedom from the Angel of Death. Now, after all we have learned, we find a way to truly understand the words of our sages when they said, Charut, carved on the stones. Do not pronounce it Charut, carved, but rather Cherut, freedom, for they have been liberated from the Angel of Death. It has been explained in the articles Matan Torah and the Arvut that prior to the giving of the Torah, they had assumed the relinquishment of any private property to the extent expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests, and the purpose of the whole of creation, to adhere to Him, an equivalence of form with Him. As He bestows and does not receive, they too will bestow and not receive. This is the last degree of dvekut, adhesion, expressed in the words, a holy nation, as it is written at the end of the article, the Arvut. I have already brought to you to realize that man's essence, meaning his selfishness, defined as the will to receive, is only half a thing, and can only exist when clothed in some image of a possession or a hope for possession. Only then is our matter complete and can be called man's essence. Thus, when the children of Israel were rewarded with complete dvekut, adhesion, on that holy occasion, their vessels of reception were completely emptied of any worldly possession, and they were adhered to Him in equivalence of form. This means that they had no desire for any self-possession, but only to the extent that they could bestow contentment, so their Maker would delight in them. And since their will to receive had clothed in an image of that object, it had clothed in it and bonded with it into complete oneness. Therefore, they were certainly liberated from the Angel of Death, for death is necessarily an absence and negation of the existence of something. But only while there is a spark that wishes to exist for its own pleasure, is it possible to say about it that that spark does not exist because it has become absent and died. However, if there is no such spark in man, but all the sparks of his selfishness clothe in bestowal of contentment upon their Maker, then he neither becomes absent nor dies. For even when the body is annulled, it is only annulled with respect to self-reception, in which the will to receive is dressed and can only exist in it. However, when he achieves the aim of creation and the Creator receives pleasure from him, since his will is done. Man's essence, which clothes in his contentment, is granted complete eternity like him. Thus he has been rewarded with freedom from the angel of death. This is the meaning of the words of the Midrash, freedom from the angel of death. And in the Mishnah, charut, carved on the stones, do not pronounce it charut, carved, but rather chirut, freedom. For none are free unless they engage in the study of Torah.
Questions?
Ну, пяти чайсли.
Well, пяти 19.
Good morning, friends. Look, Baal HaSulam here explains this very nicely here, but something not clear. It says, the person is just a will to receive, which is just half a matter.
Yes. Because you can also add to it the intention to bestow.
Okay, and then he says that the will to receive has no reality of its own without the clothing of the Creator in it. What does it mean, no reality of its own?
Because the will to receive is a created being, and the created being exists only on condition that someone created it, sustains it, keeps it alive every single moment, as it is written, who revives the work of creation every moment.
It sounds like your whole life was what, some illusion?
Of course it's an illusion.
How can you explain?
Well, this is why the Olam world is Ne'elam, concealed.
How do you explain all our desires and all the headache around?
Everything is a lie. It's all false. It is all only so that we will achieve adhesion with the Creator. And you throw away this will to receive with the aim to receive everything. We need it only so as to be called created beings, separate from the Creator, so that we will be able to approach Him and somehow differentiate us from Him. Otherwise, you have to have two that are opposite, and that they will be able to get closer or farther.
So, the closer I come to the Creator, I need to feel the will to receive less and less, according to what you're saying now.
No. Actually, the opposite. How will you get closer to Him? Precisely by having a bigger will to receive, and you'll be able to correct it, to adjust it, adapt it to the Creator, and then you will feel what it means to get closer to the Creator. You're not getting closer to something or someone, you are filling yourself with that image of the Creator. This is why it's called Bo'e. Come and see. He comes to you and fills you up. And then you are called Adam, man.
Ken? And if you really do the work, the will to receive grows even more. What's the reason here?
Yes. Yes. Well, there's a limit, but it's in order to allow you to adhere to the Creator in everything that He determined in advance. That's it. He determined in advance some level, some filling. We don't know. We're talking about things that we don't have any way to weigh. But there's a limit to how much we need to develop, acquire the form of the Creator, and be filled with what is called the Creator, and then man and the Creator are as one.
Let the will to receive, like as much as we advance at some stage, it becomes smaller? Does it start to become smaller?
No. It doesn't grow smaller. The will to receive must grow to the level where it can receive the corrections and fill itself with the intention to bestow. This is called the Creator filling it. This is called being in adhesion. We're talking only about the will to receive and its corrections.
So according to what you're saying, you can't even progress without a will to receive.
Of course not. Wait a minute. whatever you can point to is only the will to receive. You don't identify, detect anything but desires to receive.
When does everything stop being an illusion, actually?
When you come to the truth, to the aim to bestow, to the extent you look at life in manners of bestowal, you see the truth. All right, yes, Michael?
There's a question from the Congress, the Sons and Fathers. What does the younger generation give to the whole world Kli? And this is their joining the morning lesson.
First of all, let's wave to them, say hi to them. There's a great contribution in this. First of all, it is connecting their desires to our common desire. Every lesson, when we renew it in every day and at meals and everything, what we renew, and let's hope that in the near future we will begin to do more and more such activities of connection. So when they join us, it's a big force. It's a young force. It's a powerful force. And I appreciate it very much. We hug you, the fathers and the sons. May you be warm there and feel good. And now, I can't even explain how important it is. This is the most important act that can even be. First of all, the fathers connect to the sons connect among themselves, and the fathers among themselves. And all of us connect to all of us. So we really enjoy seeing you there. And keep it up. Well, I mean, come back. Don't stay there. Come back from there, and we will welcome you back happily. So all the best to you. We have 2 minutes for the women, maybe a little more. Women.
From Petah Tikva, how not to reach this old or elderliness in our spiritual desire?
It's all a matter of spirit. We have to be connected to the sons, to the daughters, and with them continue the path. In this way, we will not grow old. It all depends on the inner spirit. Otherwise, it's, as they say, what can you do with children who have grown old? There are those who are young, but are actually old. But we want to have it the opposite. To remain young. And the women too. May you have a young spirit, and then you will always be young. You can really feel it on a person.
Question from Moscow. What's the main thing that we need to learn from this complex text that can help us in our work in the tent?
To the extent that we are similar to the Creator, we make room for Him to enter us. By this we acquire the form of man, and the spirit continues when the body is alive and when the body is no longer alive. It doesn't matter. We always continue with that part of the Creator that we received, that fills us.
Allah.
Next.
Yofi.
Good. So, all the best to you. No more questions. The truth is, the article is not simple. It's deep and a little kind of warped. And Baal Sulam didn't go to the trouble of simplifying it. Maybe at one point, we will read it more elaborately, and we will explain and talk more. But for now, I don't feel like we can really clarify it, scrutinize it. look at what is the angel of death and where we make ourselves similar to the Creator, and when the will to receive enters us. When the will to bestow enters us, it gives us life above the angel of death. The angel of death is Malchut, and we have to rise above it to Bina. In short, the intention to bestow is our ticket to the eternal world. And with this, we end.
Our schedule for today, 10 to 10:30 today, we have a program, something like that, with Rav Lightman. Tomorrow, 2:45 is the preparation for the morning lesson. 3 to 6 is our daily morning lesson. 1:45 to 2:00 is the preparation to our afternoon lesson. And 2 to 4 is our afternoon lesson tomorrow. We'll end with the song.
From Rabash to Adam Rishon, there is a chain of souls. We're the last generation in this time, making a circle from a line. Enter a special place. A chain of souls. We're the last generation in this time, making a circle from a line. Break down every wall, shine a light in every land. Thousands of friends, thousands of faces, and we're living as one. A chain of souls. We're the last generation in this time, making a circle.